If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you're missing out. Not only do they taste great, but Super Beet Soft Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beets Chews is clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than as a healthy lifestyle alone. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you want. And if you love Super Beets Chews, you'll love their all-new, delicious vitamin D3 chews. Vitamin D3 has been in the news a lot for its ability to support immune health. And Humin's all-new vitamin D3 chews provide high-potency vitamin D3 for a convenient and delicious way to support your immune health year-round. Now, you can get a free bag of vitamin D3 chews and a free bag of Super Beets chews when you buy 2 bags of Super Beets chews at danasbeets.com. That's danasbeets.com. danasbeets.com.
I'll 10-year-old child decides, you know, I decided I want to be transgender. That's what I think I'd like to be. It'll make my life a lot easier. There should be zero discrimination. And what's happening is too many transgender women of color are being murdered.
Okay, I don't know that I want to trust Joe Biden on parenting advice, considering all of the hell that broke loose this week. I just want to say, it's kind of like, I don't know. I wouldn't want to listen to Colonel Sanders about protecting the lives of chickens,
no.
Right? I've got a great way to keep them safe. Make them last longer. What is that? Put them in this batter here. Well, welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash. It's Friday. Oh, man, y'all watched the town halls last night?
Yeah.
I did. Yeah, I did. And then I had angry crochet to get out of it, reframe my mind. I watched the dueling town halls, and we're going to go through some of that today, because that was Joe Biden saying, yeah, if your 8-year-old wants to be transgender. When I was 8 years old, I was a child. That's why I have flipping parents in my life to say, well, there's certain things. You can't drink alcohol because you're 8. Well, I identify as 21, mom and dad, the hell. Come on, I identify as 21. For the love, give me some whiskey. You know, I mean, what if? And who are you to discriminate? I'm just suggesting. I just don't like, I mean, look, people when they're grown adults and there are going to be decisions that they're going to make as grown adults that you may not like. But when you're 8 years old and you're messing around with hormones, I will fight you. I am so against this. I think it's absolutely abusive to jack kids up with all these hormones unnecessarily. It is absolutely, hatefully, maliciously abusive. People just sit here and they do this stuff and they shoot these kids up with hormones, not even realizing. I mean, heck, when adults get treated with this stuff, doctors don't even fully know exactly how it's going to pan out. And you're talking about doing this with kids before they've even hit puberty? The hell's wrong with you, man? Oh my gosh, he was full of bad advice last night. We've got a lot of it. As I said, welcome to the show. It's Friday. Here's where you can find me.
Find Dana at DLash on Twitter and Instagram. Dana Lash on Parler and YouTube. Official Dana Lash on Facebook. And simulcast via the First, channel 244 on Pluto TV.
Mm-hmm. All right, so that's where y'all, you can find me. Sign up for the newsletter as well, because there was, we've had a lot of stuff go out this week. So the town halls last night, Trump had one that was an hour long that was on NBC, and Biden had one. Was it an hour and a half or 2 hours long?
Like an hour and a half.
Hour and a half. Yeah, it was longer on ABC. And I didn't watch the Biden one at all until after Trump's was over. And I didn't know that Savannah Guthrie was running for president, guys. Did you guys know that it's candidate Savannah? I get that she was trying to be aggressive, but there's a difference between being aggressive and being undisciplined. And I don't think that she conveyed her understanding of that difference very well in the way that she handled questioning last night. Because there were a number of instances in which not only was she not even allowing him to answer questions that she asked, and I think he came off very successfully last night, but then she would interject herself halfway. It was like she was trying to fact check real time, and it was just a chaotic, sloppy mess. It was bad. It didn't turn out well. I mean, it did not turn out well at all. And so the questions that they started out with last night immediately began with issues that, you know, we think are more important than any other issue in the world. You know, issues like, won't you denounce to racisms again for like the 18th, 19th, 20th time? They spent an inordinate amount of time on that, and it was kind of shocking, actually. It was just audio soundbite six. This is what I'm talking about.
We're asked point blank to denounce white supremacy. In the moment, you didn't. You asked some follow-up questions. Who specifically? A couple of days later, on a different show, you denounced white supremacy. No, my question to you is,
you've done this to me and everybody.
Why does it seem like
I denounced white supremacy? Okay,
you did 2 days later.
I've denounced white supremacy for years, but you always do it. You always start off with a question. You didn't ask Joe Biden whether or not he denounces Antifa. I watched him on the same basic show with Lester Holt, and he was asking questions like Biden was a child.
Well, this is a little bit of a dodge.
Are you listening? I denounce white supremacy.
Okay.
What's your next question?
Do you feel, it feels sometimes you're hesitant to do so, like you wait a bit.
Here we go again. Every time, in fact, my people came, I'm sure they'll ask you the white supremacy question. I denounce white supremacy.
Okay.
And frankly, you want to know something? I denounce Antifa, and I denounce these people on the left that are burning down our cities that are run by Democrats.
Yeah, but that's what we were dealing with last night. That's immediately how it started. It was ridiculous. I mean, how many times, it doesn't matter how many times he condemns something, they don't register it when he does. He's been on tape 17 times. Actually, I think more than that. It's more than, I know for a fact it's 17 times. And we've played the audio whenever, I mean, it's been like 4 years of audio on this. And so when he does do it, then they don't count it. It doesn't register. They don't think that, for whatever reason, I guess that they don't think that it counts. I just don't understand the purpose of asking the same damn question over and over again. I mean, I realize that they're trying to project this idea that he's never done it, and so they're asking him this anew for the first time, but this isn't the case. I mean, Chris Wallace asked him before at a previous debate. He's been asked by every single journalist from the White House press pool to NBC, to ABC, to CNN, to MSNBC, to CBS. I mean, we could go on and on and on. Basic bloggers, all kinds of stuff. Just, you know, podcasters, radio hosts, magazine writers, newspaper writers, independent, over and over again. Phones, cameras, doesn't matter. Professional setting, going out to the chopper, doesn't matter. He's been asked over and over again. So that's where we are. That's how it actually started. That's how this whole thing actually started. And then they moved from that into this whole thing again. Here we are. I got so mad about this. I was just in caps lock for a couple points of it, parts of it. My rundown for just the first segment is a page long. That's kind of my bad. I'm sorry, guys. Sorry.
All good.
Can't say that, you know, we don't underprepare.
It is a full page, though.
It is a full page. I'm sorry about that. There were a lot of things that I wanted to touch today. Reach out and touch and punch and kick in the neck. Just saying. They brought up the QAnon thing. And there was a whole story that was done on this, and I still don't understand what I don't understand why they keep going back to this either. She asked him, Politico wrote a piece on it. It said Trump tonight refused to denounce QAnon, saying he doesn't know whether there is a secret government cabal of pedophiles, as the theory claims. I know nothing about QAnon, he said. I do know that they're very much against pedophilia. I agree with that. Oh my gosh, he agrees that he should be against pedophilia? Is that really the angle that you guys want to take? I mean, let's just say that I don't know. I've been focusing on guns and taxes and other freedoms, right? And then the media, no one gives a crap about this stuff. No one, I mean, I don't, I think that they're trying to, I think they think that this is his base or something, or they're trying to put like a wedge or something in there. Are they burning down buildings? I mean, show me if QAnon's burning down buildings and stuff. And if they're the ones who are telling black voters that, you know, unless you vote for me, you ain't black. Oh, wait, that's Biden. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. It's silly that became, and that was like the second or third question that she asked. Oh my gosh, do you really? We're playing this. Yep, we are.
I know nothing about a QAnon.
I just told you.
I know very little. You told me, but what you tell me doesn't necessarily make it fact. I hate to say that. I know nothing about it. I do know they are very much against pedophilia. They fight it very hard, but I know nothing about it.
They believe it is if a satanic like cult run by the deep
state. The subject, I'll tell you what I do know about. I know about Antifa, and I know about the radical left, and I know how violent they are and how vicious they are, and I know how they're burning down cities run by Democrats.
Well, that's true. I mean, it is a true story. Just saying. He's not wrong there. So I'm just trying to figure out, is their argument with him that are they, I mean, I'm playing their dims the rules, so they're for pedophilia, I guess? I don't know. But that's how the whole thing started. So then, I said I didn't peek over at the Biden town hall until after Trump's was over. And here's the other thing I wanted to bring up. Did you guys see that lady that was sitting behind Trump and like shaking her head and nodding yes and all that? She had on a white top. She had on a face mask, and apparently she was vocal. Okay, so she got doxxed by the media just for sitting behind Trump and shaking her head, like yes, like clearly she was a supporter. And I'm pretty sure that MSNBC was like, let's put this lady behind Trump because she's black, she's got to be Democrat, right? That's what Joe Biden says. All black people belong to the Democrats. That's the Democrats. That's like one of the pillars of their party. You're not allowed to not be black and not vote Democrat, or to be black and not vote Democrat. It's not allowed. So I think that they put her behind him because they thought, oh, here's a black woman and she'll pop off or something. That's honestly what I think they did. I mean, it's MSNBC for crying out loud. I really think that they did this. So, but she agreed with him. Now, over on ABC, George Stephanopoulos was asking very difficult questions like, what's your favorite color? And what is your favorite sandwich meat? Like when you go to the store, not a deli, but like if you're straight up going to the store, what's your favorite like packaged sandwich meat? Okay, he didn't ask. He may have. I really don't know.
They get a hard time with that one too.
Yeah, that would be difficult for Biden because he's only allowed pudding. So I don't know how. Don't say that I'm mean. I'm not being mean. What's mean is telling everybody to just like shoot their shotguns off their balcony or just shoot people in the leg and then act like I'm the one who's irresponsible about firearms. And we're gonna get to that. Oh, trust, fam. We'll get to that. So, not a single question, though, was asked on ABC about the Iden Bay story. Wink, wink. You know, the story that we can't apparently talk about on Twitter because some, like, button-punching emo is going to get all menstrual over it. So, and they'll delete everybody's account, so you can't talk about it. So, it's the Iden Bay story. See, they can't speak Pig Latin. I'm fluent. We have a lot still on the way. The latest with big tech. The FCC director issues a big statement on Section 230. We've got that for you. Twitter does a U-turn, and now they're like, okay, well, I guess we can share some links about Iden Bay. So we'll discuss that. And plus the latest with the Iden Bay story. Steve Scully is suspended. And he admitted to lying, which we all knew. Dr. Fauci wants you to cancel Thanksgiving. Roll up your shirt sleeves. We're going to pick a fight. So we got a lot of stuff still on the way. I do. I feel like that. I feel like that in Braveheart when Mel Gibson rides across the field and he's like, I'm going to pick a fight. If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you're missing out. Not only do they taste great, but Super Beet Soft Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Chews is clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than as a healthy lifestyle alone. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you want. And if you love Super Beet Chews, you'll love their all-new, delicious Vitamin D3 Chews. Vitamin D3 has been in the news a lot for its ability to support immune health. And Humin's all-new Vitamin D3 Chews provide high-potency vitamin D3 for a convenient and delicious way to support your immune health year-round. Now, you can get a free bag of Vitamin D3 Chews and a free bag of Super Beats Chews when you buy two bags of Super Beats Chews at danasbeats.com. That's danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Just so you all know, I'm Team FLOTUS on this. So Melania Trump launched a ferocious attack on ex-aide Stephanie Winston Wolkoff over her grifting ladder climbing tell-all book that said that Melania Trump was a dishonest contractor. Melania Trump said that Winston Wolkoff was a dishonest contractor who clung to me, saying that she made secret tapes to distort her character with idle gossip. I think Stephanie Winston Wolkoff is like a wannabe socialite that has three names, and it does sound like she was trying to, I don't know.
Born. Hooker?
Yeah. Who's the hooker?
The hooker?
Who is it?
I think the hooker is...
Stormy.
Oh, okay, got it. Okay, I thought she was going to say Stephanie, but okay. I'm just saying. All I know is I am here for this girl fight. I am here for it, and this is, like, I made this wheel. So I'm here for it. I have the house that I also built for the wheel that I made. So yay, let's do this. All right, so that's first off. I have this on my rundown as she has a career. Demi Lovato came out so bravely. You guys, like, oh my gosh, guys. She says... she doesn't care what people think about her criticizing Trump. She says, I literally don't care if this ruins my career.
Literally?
So like you figuratively? Like you actually placed care down? I'm just curious. Literally don't care. Literally. 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 I mean, it's just, stop it. I mean, it's so brave, right, to say that you don't like Trump in Hollywood. And then, last but not least, Bruce Springsteen says he's going to move to Australia if Trump wins. Is that a promise?
Right.
I don't know what we're going to do without your constipated guitar playing. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Sarah Carter, host of the Sarah Carter Podcast. Everywhere you look these days, we're seeing an aggressive effort to destroy what made America great, tearing down our history, attacking our freedoms, and canceling any person who dares to cross the progressive speech police. We cannot stand by and let this happen. It's time for the silent majority to become the unsilent majority. Join me on the Sarah Carter Podcast. Subscribe at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch the latest Dana podcasts, videos, and blog posts at the all-new DanaRadio.com.
I think, depending on what happens with Roe v. Wade, I think that perhaps it could get sent down to the states, and the states would decide. I also think perhaps nothing will happen. I have not talked to her about it. I think it would be inappropriate to talk to her about it. And some people would say you can talk to her about it. I just think it would be inappropriate.
Well, and he's not wrong. I like how he answered that question, because they were trying to get him into somehow saying that he influenced Amy Coney Barrett when he hadn't. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. And he just ended up just shutting that down. And it was a great way to answer it. Very good. And he also mentioned this too after he was discussing that he doesn't want to influence Amy Barrett. He also quoted, he actually started with this, he quoted RGB, Audio Soundbite 8, upon initially answering it.
So when I was elected, and when a president is elected, they're elected for a period of 4 years. And Justice Ginsburg said it best, I think talking about President Obama having to do with somebody else, that the president is put there for 4 years, not for 3 years. So during this fourth year, it happened to come up, unfortunately, because I had great respect for Justice Ginsburg, but a vacancy happened to come up, and we picked somebody that's outstanding. She has been an absolute star.
There you go. So he answered it well, and they didn't stay on her too closely. They even noted with the Amy Barrett hearing, the vote on that, on her confirmation, has been set for next Thursday, which on October 22nd, when we're also supposed to have the debate, the last debate, I do believe, if it still takes place, between Trump and Biden. And the it's going to be a crazy day. It'll be a crazy week. But they couldn't Kavanaugh her. It was pretty much understood the moment that this started that in some ways it felt as though Barrett, her confirmation was assured, and Democrats could only withhold votes, even though they don't have enough to withhold to stop it, as sort of a penance for what they did and how they behaved, not just during the Kavanaugh hearings, but to Kavanaugh and his family alone. Interesting. But for all of it, the town halls, everything else, I mean, I still think the debate is ongoing, right? Yeah. So not a single question was asked from George Stephanopoulos about Hunter Biden, despite the fact that there was a second portion of that story that where it showed new leaked emails showing Joe Biden visited Ukraine after Hunter Biden was asked by his business partner to arrange for a influential U.S. policymaker to travel around the country to help their firm Burisma. No questions on any of this. I mean, and with all of the emails that have been released so far, you are clearly seeing Hunter Biden sell out access to his dad because his dad is vice president of the United States. There are people out there who say that because of the manner in which this information came to light, it is questionable that the information itself should be stricken from the public conscience. And I reject that based on the inconsistency of that argument. These are the same people who had no problem with the illegal release of the president's taxes, most of which actually, I mean, you could run down through enough public information and make a pretty educated guess, but it's publicly available yet illegally released, and it was determined to be illegally released because simply having access to a document is not the same thing as having the legal authority to make that document public based on your access to it alone. That's like a third party having access to your employment contract, but that does not grant them legal authority to make your employment contract public. I mean, surely we are not so far down the road of idiocracy that we can still understand this significant difference. And I also really reject their arguments on this because these are people who's completely defended. Not only did they defend, but they wrote reams on it and used the stories that were written on it to further substantiate continued investigation and surveillance of Carter Page, actually tampering with and changing CIA emails to try to cast a CIA asset as a foreign agent to benefit Hillary Clinton's campaign. And these are just two examples that undermine any sort of moral authority that they would have in terms of questioning how this information came to light. Now, how the information came to light, I have some more insight on that because I was reading about this guy's interview. They call him Mac, this repair shop owner. And what happened is he has a history when he is working on people's computers, and this has happened before. There are stories about this happening. Sometimes these repair shops find questionable material on the hard drives of some of these computers as they're working on them. And there's been a multitude of stories where they notify the authorities when they find something questionable. Sometimes it involves underage items, and it's just heinous and disgusting and super illegal. And apparently, some of the stuff that was on Hunter Biden's laptop raised some red flags. And so what this repair shop owner did was notify the FBI in Delaware. Notified the FBI and apparently handed the laptop over to them. And then nothing happened. This is Christopher Wray's FBI. Do you think that it did not reach Christopher Wray's his attention that the FBI in Delaware, you think that no one was going to tip off Chris Wray that they had Hunter Biden's laptop, especially with all this going on? So They have Hunter Biden's laptop. And then there was evidence that apparently communist China is aware of what was on Hunter Biden's laptop. And the photos that are apparently publicly available are the more rated G version of stuff that's on there. Some of it, Mac had said in an interview, was bad. Really bad, he said. So when the FBI didn't move on this, that's when this guy became concerned. And so what he did was he contacted another individual whom he knew had some connections in the FBI. And this individual happened to be associated with Robert Costello, who is Rudy Giuliani's attorney. And that is how Rudy Giuliani got this information. Now, sure, question the timeline and the October surprise. I have. To me, questioning when it's released doesn't really have any bearing on what was released to me. These are two separate things. It doesn't, if he has some illegal stuff on his hard drive, the timing of its release doesn't make it less illegaler, right? Doesn't detract from the illegality. That's the same argument as putting cosmetic attachments on a firearm somehow makes it illegaler. It's the same thing. So that is how this information came out. What I am really curious about is how long the FBI sat on this. I don't think we quite know that yet. I'm curious as to how long the FBI sat on this information and how much Christopher Wray actually knows. I would really like to know that. And the reason that I bring up the Communist Chinese Association, do people honestly not think? And this is the same reason that they keep saying that they need Trump's tax information, even though now after it's illegally released, it's pretty much. And they also, Savannah Guthrie also last night proved she has no idea what leverage is, just because we have a serious problem with financial illiteracy in this country. The same reason that they are saying that they want Trump's tax information is because they say that they want to make sure that he cannot be blackmailed essentially by any foreign power. What in the hell do you think this is as it relates to Joe Biden? This guy wants to be president of the United States, and Hunter Biden, apparently his desktop, his computer desktop was a mess, and some of the stuff was right on his desktop. And some of it, the way that this guy describes it, is ridiculously illegal, some of the things that are on it. I don't know what, but this apparently is not the worst of it, what we've seen. So do you think that something like this might be used by a foreign power to blackmail someone in a position of power in the United States? Because we already now see that Joe Biden's lied simply about even knowing what Hunter Biden was doing at Burisma. And we've already seen emails where Hunter Biden was saying that he had no problem with charging millions just to make basic introductions, and how they were trying to cash in big with all of these communist Chinese firms. Do you honestly think that this information would not be used by a foreign power to try to blackmail someone in authority within the United States government to benefit their nation and compromise our national security? Because if you disagree with that, then you're just completely undermining your argument as to why you want Trump's taxes or any of that other garbage. And there's a hell of a lot more receipts, as it were, like literally, with this than there has ever been with any of Trump stuff. In fact, all of the information that came out with Trump that's now publicly available shows that not only was that narrative debunked, but a lot of other ones is also. But that's the whole reason why people are asking questions about this. I mean, Hunter Biden is the definition of white privilege. This is a guy who, and I retweeted someone who made a great point about this earlier, he would be in jail under his dad's own crime bill were he black. And I dare say that he may have had a dishonorable discharge had his dad not intervened. And for some people who say, well, for snorting cocaine, you do realize that even small possessions of cocaine in a number of states is a felony. So there's a lot of stuff here that legitimizes the concern as to what position that places someone who is seeking the highest office in the world. But we can't have any of those conversations because Twitter shuts everything down. Facebook shuts everything down. George Stephanopoulos and all of these other self-sanctified journalists who masquerade as these keepers of the flame they can't even bring themselves to ask serious questions about this. There was not one question about any of this last night with Biden. I think the only question that he got was that was tough was about fracking, and that was it. And that's just like a little bit of a policy disagreement that exists on the left. So that's the legitimate concern that people have. Now, we have a lot more to touch on, too, including the latest with that story and also with big tech. So yesterday we did a deep dive on everything as it relates to big tech, any kind of upcoming Section 230 modifications. You received the newsletter yesterday that had all of this in there, as I said, and also some links to previous discussions that we've had on this. But we're going to talk about what's to be expected with that. Plus, C-SPAN suspended its political editor, Steve Scully. Remember, after we mocked him for using the Joy Reid "I was hacked" defense? So he admitted that he lied. We're going to discuss this, too. We're also going to get into, apparently now the media wants to desperately acknowledge, after it spent months fact-checking it, that the Babylon Bee is a satirical site. So we'll discuss that. The latest with the coronavirus, because Dr. Fauci is now suggesting that you just don't have Thanksgiving this year. We'll have that as well. You don't want to miss a single bit of it. It's a really packed show today. It's been a crazy week. Kel-Tec is a privately owned family company that has been making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms since 1995. They believe in respect for you and myself and our fellow citizens and the right to bear arms and in the love that we all have for our great country. All innovative Kel-Tec firearms are proudly and quality made right here in America. Every Kel-Tec employee, regardless of their role, is encouraged to innovate, to find better ways to make things efficiently with quality in mind. The Kel-Tec commitment to innovation and quality and George Kellgren's dedication to the quality of life for each employee truly sets them apart from any firearms manufacturer I've had the pleasure of knowing. The new affordable P17 pistol from Kel-Tec makes range days a lot less expensive and far more fun. It's lightweight, easy to handle, and features a fiber optic front sight and adjustable rear. Affordable at an MSRP of only $199, the P17 gives you a lot more bang for the buck. Check them out at KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
Y'all, I am about done with this like petty garbage. Mitt Romney tweets out literally like 20 minutes ago, the president's unwillingness to denounce an absurd and dangerous conspiracy theory last night constitutes an alarming pattern. Politicians and parties refuse to forcefully and convincingly repudiate groups like Antifa. Just, I can't deal. I cannot deal. Basically, every time Mitt Romney does something like this, he is begging people to pay attention to him. This guy is such a trigger dude. And I know that he comes off like in public as being like this nice, super nice guy. And I just remember that when I worked at CNN, his campaign lost their minds because I would criticize him. And I was never mean, but I would just say, look, I don't know how it is that Republicans can simultaneously blast Obamacare and then they're going to pick as their nominee the guy who literally brought it in and implemented it in Massachusetts. And I was very factual. I was never mean, but his campaign would call the network every single time I criticized him to stamp their feet. And they demanded that I be put on with a Romney apologist. They were trying to tell the network how to run their network. Well, you better put her on with a Romney apologist. They did not want me to talk unless they had someone on their side. And it's like, no. I'm telling you, where's the lie? Did you or did you not implement this in Massachusetts? And?
Yes.
I mean, and there were other things that I checked off as well. I mean, and then here's the thing. He was acting as though standing up for basic logic. And remember, principles are important now, but apparently they didn't matter back when Romney was running for office for the presidency. And I was saying, I'm simply bringing this up, you know, as a point of principle. And I do find it interesting that all of the people that continue to hate Trump and also identify as Republicans, I have not gotten along with any of those people. since this time, since Romney ran. Although I know that there are some grifters on the right that continue to conflate primaries and generals, and they don't understand it because I think they're getting kickbacks for being purposely divisive, and you should be suspicious of those people because I am. But and more so you, though, even though you don't have the advantage of knowing certain things that I do. But the people who are blasting Trump and identifying as Republicans now, and they keep going, oh, but your principles. These were the same people who jumped on my throat for daring to bring up the inconsistency of their position where it related to healthcare. There are Republicans today who will not have anything to do with me because I criticized Mitt Romney on this. I mean, they apparently contacted, according to people that I answered to at CNN, like constantly, every time I was on, anytime the topic was about Romney, they contacted the network. That is not an exaggeration. But see, principle didn't matter then, but now it does. And principle on what? Because you don't like his tweets, that means you're pro-abortion now? I mean, I'm just curious as to where they fall on this. We have a lot more coming up still. Stick with us.
It's the Dana Show.
This November, we must take a stand. Now is the time to stand for what you believe in, for what makes America great, and for truth and freedom. With Patriot Mobile, you can take that stand with America's only Christian conservative wireless company. From now until November 7th, switch to Patriot Mobile with their Stand Up for Freedom promotion. Get a free Samsung A11 phone with 2-year commitment, free premier activation, and a free gift. Patriot Mobile takes a stand with a portion of every dollar going to support organizations that simply support the Constitution and your values. At 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Use promo code Dana for a free Samsung A11 phone, free premier activation, and a free gift. Or get a free month of service and $45 off any phone in stock. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, promo code Dana, or call 972-PATRIOT. Stand up for freedom now with Patriot Mobile. That's 972-PATRIOT. Patriot Mobile, our plans, your freedom.
But beyond that, you have to teach people how to de-escalate circumstances. De-escalate. So instead of anybody coming at you and the first thing you do is shoot to kill, you shoot them in the leg. There's ways you have to do more background checks in terms of whether or not the person coming in passes certain psychological tests.
Did I just hear?
That. Oh, my God.
I think that we really need to, like, stop asking Uncle Joe for advice, y'all. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. That was last night from the ABC town hall where George Stephanopoulos went like 2 hours and didn't ask him a single question about Hunter Biden. Yeah, that's not how it works. And you can tell that Joe Biden has never so much as actually like really trained with firearms, nor has he ever faced a threat that was running at him. I tweeted a video. It's on my timeline, and I'm not gonna, I'm calling Twitter something different these days, but I just realized I can't share that on air with you. Just imagine it's what Cousin Eddie says in the Griswolds' Christmas, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, and you'll get the general idea.
Got it.
It's my only vice, I swear. So, not a single question about the Hunter Biden thing. This was I shared a video last night on, it was an officer. It was body cam footage of an officer facing off against an assailant that had a knife and was charging him. And the cop had to shoot 7 times. And I mean, it took every single one of those shots because that guy would not stay down. And he wouldn't stop charging. The first 3 did nothing. And they hit him, but they did nothing. That is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen that on if any politician say that, oh, we'll just shoot them in the leg. No one ever teaches that ever. No one has ever taught that ever. I have never been in any class, firearm defensive courses, tactical courses, name it. I have never been in a class where the instructor actually suggests that this is a legitimate form of defense. to shoot, or that it is even smart in any way. Good night. I mean, this is shoot him in the leg by the femoral artery so they'll bleed out faster. Is that what he's talking about? Do you realize, too, that the insane can of the illegality or the problems with legalities that this opens up to? I mentioned this. I said this last night. I mean, it's no, that's not a form of de-escalation. And that's one of the things that he had mentioned. He was like, well, you know, de-escalation, shooting someone is not de-escalation. First off, that's what we call escalation. It's not de-escalation to shoot someone in the leg, you know? And shooting someone in the leg, you're taught for center mass, because also by targeting someone in the leg, what you're ending up doing is looking at a smaller target that is moving. That increases the chance for corollary for any, like if there's somebody out like out to the side, anything, you're just increasing the chance for injury and damage by doing something like that. That's why one of the reasons no one teaches it. And one of the other things that, you know, I was thinking about with this, if you're going to try to redefine use of lethal force to this extent, do you realize the increase in legal problems that you're going to be creating for police departments? Now, that is not to say that police officers should not be trained. I actually think police need better training. Not every police department gets the same level of training. And I think that this is the biggest misconception about law enforcement and about training. Not every department gets the same level of training. One of the biggest misses that we had was the opportunity to really explore that in the wake of Parkland, because the Broward County Police, and this all came out during the Stoneman Douglas hearings, it was realized that their sheriff at the time, the absolute failure, Scott Israel, was so derelict on his professional duties, his deputies could not remember the last time that they had been trained in an active shooter response. They did not drill regularly. They did not train regularly. That is one of your jobs as sheriff. I mean, literally, it's one of your jobs as sheriff. You have to, you're helping your deputies be trained. Now, compare and contrast that with Coral Springs. And I looked into this deeper after this happened. Coral Springs Police Department carries out regular trainings, not just drills and not just like night trainings and things like that, but they consistently practice active shooter response drills and different techniques. And I believe that during the hearings, they said that they had actually increased the trainings even more, the amount of training, like doubled it or something to that extent in the wake of Parkland. Not every police department has the same level of training, and some only offer, I mean, there are some departments out there, and a lot of this depends on their budget too. And it depends on who's running the department. One of the things that we need more of is discernment training. When you are going through any kind of defensive firearms course, the first thing, and I think this is just like for every course, it comes up either at the beginning or at some point during the class, depending on what it is, how you are responsible for de-escalation. And particularly in states that don't have stand your ground, that's even more important, because you have the firearm. It is viewed, at least in a court of law, and I say this because of case precedent that they presented in the classes that I took on this, that the responsibility of de-escalation is on you. I know, you would think that maybe the person who is like the potential assailant would have, but I'm just telling you how overzealous prosecutors work. And the goal is to make sure that you are able to operate freely and legally in self-defense, if need be. So And discernment training is to being able to quickly identify what is or is not a threat. Now, Joe Biden has talked about cutting the budgets of police force, defunding the cops. They try to say, and they try to come and walk it back, and they try to say that, well, you know, he's not going to defund the police. We're just taking some of their funds and moving it elsewhere, and they have to meet this arbitrary list of, you know, whatever. Well, when you're talking about taking a lot of money from one entity and moving it somewhere else, you're talking about defunding that entity. Does that entity still have that money? Yes or no? No, because you're moving it. You defunded it. It is such semantic garbage. What do you think is the first thing that suffers in that? What is the first thing to suffer? Training. What do you think is the first type of training to go? Do you think that they're going to cut their budget for target ammo? No. Because you have defensive rounds and your target rounds. No. They're going to cut things like discernment training. Teaching officers how to recognize immediately a threat and being able to drill with this type of training to the point where it is reflexive and you know exactly what to look for and you know exactly how to respond. And you can see in the news which departments have a clearly discernment training and which ones don't. You can see the departments and how they respond when they use lethal force and when they don't. I'll say this for all the people who get mad at, I have story because they charged the guy that that Denver news crew hired. They charged him with second degree murder. So, and we're going to talk about that coming up. That guy had no discernment training, nor did he have actually a license to operate as a security guard. He had no discernment training. Now, put aside the fact that he is that Kyle Rittenhouse was 17, and thus I think that's like a misdemeanor in Wisconsin to carry a rifle. But other than that, he was acting in self-defense. Put that aside, though. In the video, did you see how he reacted and how he identified threat, no threat? That kid had discernment training. There was one point, and regardless of your opinion on it, I want you to put your partisanship aside for a moment, especially if you want to be educated about the importance of discernment training. I mean, if you claim that you care about lives and stuff, I think you would want to be educated about this, right? There was at one point, and it was straight on the video. I have this actually linked to Dana Radio or DanaLash.com. And there was at one point when he had been running and he tripped and he falls and he had his rifle at low ready. And that's when there was the guy who came up behind him and was going to hit him with the skateboard. And he turned and saw it. And he saw the guy using that. And the guy, I think, did actually get him. And Rittenhouse fired in self-defense. And then he turned and looked at one of the guys that had been chasing him, who actually ended up getting charged. He was the guy, he had a handgun. And the guy had his handgun, and he had already had it drawn down on Rittenhouse, and he stopped. And Rittenhouse stopped. Rittenhouse didn't unload on him. He didn't do anything. He watched. And he saw, yes, even though this guy has literally pointing the barrel of a gun at me, he is not advancing on me right now. And the guy even took a couple of steps back. And you could see Rittenhouse's posture change because he sort of, in a way, even though there's all this chaos that's happening, that threat is the immediate threat in front of him. And there's like still by still of this online, too, by the way. And you can tell his posture somewhat relax a bit because he sees that this guy is backing up. And then the guy decides stupidly, no, I'm going to run on him. And then he advances again with a gun and then Rittenhouse fires. He is determining what is or is not a threat and not just assuming that everything is a nail and he's the hammer. There's a difference. And this is incredibly important in policing as well. So what Joe Biden is saying here is not only dangerous, it is stupid, embarrassing, and he should apologize for it. Because not only does it endanger the lives of those who wear the badge, but it endangers everyone else's life to say stupid garbage like this. It is shameful that someone running... If Trump said something like this, I would blast him too. People need to stop hiding this dumbassery behind this veneer of partisanship. Stop it. This is why no one can take this stuff seriously and take all of this stuff seriously, because you have people who are so partisan, they can't even acknowledge when something is dangerous and stupid. This isn't the second time he's, this is like the second or third time he's done something like this. He told people to go and break laws and go fire shotguns off their balconies. That is literally a crime in certain areas. You want to talk about gun sense? I have gun sense. He doesn't, nor do his mom's demand Bloomberg-funded people. We got a lot more on the way. You don't want to miss a bit of it.
Delivering the truth online and on air. Listen to The Dana Show live on the radio or at danaradio.com or on demand.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So San Francisco might change 44 school names, renouncing Washington, Lincoln, and heck, maybe even Dianne Feinstein. I mean, it's just all over the place. It's the San Francisco Chronicle, and they're looking at changing basically all the school names because everything could be offensive. Everything's offensive now. That's where we are. Everything's offensive, and you should feel bad for it or something. I was looking at this study, a randomized trial of vitamin D supplementation. It was studied to see its effects at preventing seasonal influenza A in school children. And according to basically a Dropbox for kind of academic studies. They said that it actually cut the risk in half. Yeah, that vitamin D, though. Get it. Just saying. D3 chews, everybody. I just now put that together. Thanks, Kane. Look at me. I'm like, that works perfectly. Killer whales, everybody, orchestrating revenge checks on boats off Spain. This time, it's not sharks, not great whites like Jaws. It's orcas. Killer whales off the coast of Spain are living up to their name. They're targeting boats. Now, the scientists think that they are attacking yachts and boats because some of them have gotten injuries from their rudders over the past several seasons, and they said that there's been 33 of these weird attacks in northern Spain, in the Strait of Gibraltar also, which is, by the way, guys, that's southern Spain, Strait of Gibraltar near Portugal since July. They said orcas will surround small craft and deliberately ram the ship's rudders and try to tip them over. Now, the attacks have caused severe damage to the boats, clearly, and in some cases disabled the ship. So now authorities are saying to the small craft, do not sail in these seas because the whales are going to get you. 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 Whoa. There you go. Also, yeah, an upstate New York man discovered a treasure trove worth thousands in the walls of his home. Guess what it was? Well, it was a lot of stuff. He actually ended up having what did he have in here? Whiskey. Like whiskey. Good. I was looking at the type. I'm more interested in the type. Whiskey. Tons of whiskey.
This portion of The Dana Show is brought to you by Caltech. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation. Performance. Caltech. Visit us at caltechweapons.com.
As the president, I have to be out there. I also know...
Well, there's no one that says you can't be out there, but it's just about wearing masks and having, for example, your rallies.
I know there's tremendous spikes.
But our death rate is worse than, well, not Spain, but those other countries.
I have the United States is down 21%.
But we have, our deaths per capita is among the highest.
I wouldn't be able to get the word out. And
the word is false.
And you know what?
They're
dumped in a garbage can, and they happen to have my name on it. I'm not happy about that.
Okay, but just, those are cases. There is, in fact, no evidence of widespread fraud.
I want the money go to directly
to the Republicans
people.
With you? They're going to go big? They'll go big.
They'll go. They're going to be
okay,
very
okay, because so
happy.
Far they have not.
They got rid of the individual mandate.
But
that went through the legislature.
The promise was repeal and replace.
Look, we will always protect people with pre-existing conditions.
But if you're successful
and
in court in November, those pre-existing conditions, that promise
succeed,
will be gone.
If it's a tiny percentage of my net worth.
That sounds
and
like
you'll
yes.
see that. It turned out that I am
yes,
on the road.
But the IRS says,
excuse me. No, no. But you
the IRS says that doesn't stop you from releasing
me. You saw what they did with the religious.
But to be clear, there is no law or rule that prohibits you from releasing your tax returns.
Except I know she's going to make a great decision for our country.
You running as a pro-life Republican. Most pro-life Republicans would like to see Roe v. Wade overturned and abortion banned.
Thank you very much.
Mr. President, in point of fact, the DACA program, there are, under your administration, no new applicants are allowed.
It's the Savannah Show. Starring Savannah. It's the debate featuring Savannah Guthrie. Savannah Guthrie debating Savannah Guthrie. Jiminy Christmas. Welcome back to the show. DanaLash.com. That was just like a supercut of her interrupting him 11,000 times. 11,000 times. As I said at the start of the program, there's a difference between being aggressive and undisciplined. And she came off entirely undisciplined. I never thought that there existed another female who could make Kamala Harris look reasonable. And behold, I think she was just, and women particularly, ladies, it is very easy to try to play against men who are unafraid to stand up to BS. You just try to always make yourself look like you're the one who is being trod upon. She could have easily, I think he came off great in this. He's not going to take anybody's garbage, but I feel as though she really overplayed her hand here. And just, you know, all joking aside and being totally serious and objective, she actually made him look like he was being just badgered. She made him look like he was being absolutely badgered. And it made him look sympathetic. Now, it could be argued, and I have seen it argued, that maybe George Stephanopoulos just let Joe Biden talk because he realizes how ridiculous Joe Biden sounds when he's allowed to talk beyond 10 seconds. I don't know if I see that, but the whole thing with Guthrie was that it was way too much. So we talked about the Biden town hall, his whole shoot him in the leg thing. Can we have a discussion really quickly here about the suggestion, what is coming from Fauci? And then I saw this story. CDC Director Robert Redfield warns that Thanksgiving gatherings could cause coronavirus cases to soar, with small household gatherings already being blamed for a spike in infections. He warns of a possible surge due to the upcoming Thanksgiving holiday as multiple family households look to gather. He says they have to look at mitigation steps in the household settings, et cetera, et cetera. And then, I have more. Hold up. Then it gets into, because there's Dr. Fauci, who also was talking about maybe perhaps we should minimize Thanksgiving gatherings. Yeah, listen to this. This is too much. Come on.
I think people should be very careful and prudent about social gatherings, particularly when members of the family might be at a risk because of their age or their underlying condition. Namely, you may have to bite the bullet and sacrifice that social gathering unless you're pretty certain that the people that you're dealing with are not infected.
Okay. Here's the thing. Shut up. Stop. No. We're not canceling Thanksgiving. This is not happening. My kids have gone for a year without seeing their grandparents. They just saw my mom for the first time in a year a couple of weeks ago. Their grandparents. A year. Because of lockdowns and everything else. We live in a state where we don't really have any family around us. And so now I have this guy. I'm hearing this guy say, well, let's go ahead and cancel Thanksgiving. You can physically come and make me. You're going to limp back. But you can try. That's not going to happen. People are done. We were told 15 days to flatten the curve. And Americans all over the country were willing to do that. And we wanted to believe you. And then we found out you lied to us about masks. And then we found out you lied to us about so many other things. We heard Democrats screaming at people who simply were trying to make ends meet and open their damn businesses so they could pay bills. And then those same ones, here you have the relief bill that Democrats are refusing to budge on because they think that we should all, in our economic state, be bailing out state governments run by Democrats that mismanaged horribly the taxpayer funds and spent their state into million and in like some cases like Illinois billion-dollar deficits. We're not canceling Thanksgiving. If anything, we need it more than we ever have. At what point is this? We're going to have cases. Like I said, I thought this was not about. It was never about, I mean, unless now they've moved the goalpost again, which it seems like they've done. It was never about preventing everybody from getting it. It was about preventing everyone from getting it at the same time so that people didn't overwhelm medical facilities, the system. That's what it was about. It was never about, well, we're going to make sure that no one ever gets it. Because even if you have a vaccine, that's not going to be the case. It's not a cure. It's an inoculation. That's temporary. It's not a cure. And they keep saying, oh, well, now we're having these cases escalate. It's been over 6 months. I mean, the last time that my kids saw their grandparents was over the holidays. And now we have this guy sitting here going, well, you know what? We're going to need to, maybe we should just, you know, rethink. Maybe we should just bite the bullet and sacrifice gathering for Thanksgiving. I think the American people have sacrificed enough, quite frankly, Anthony Fauci. I think that the American people have sacrificed enough. There have been families that have sacrificed being there and for the last moments of their loved ones. I have friends who sacrificed being able to say goodbye to their parents. There are families who sacrificed gathering together to bury loved ones. There are people who sacrificed being able to be there for essentially the first year of their grandchildren's lives. There are people who sacrificed their livelihoods and their businesses and lost everything. Some people sacrificed their marriages, sacrificed relationships with each other. And you know what is amazing? While everyone is doing this sacrifice, all the sacrificing, I mean, my gosh, it's like I'm watching Apocalypto and the Mel Gibson movie. And it's like, that's what it feels like. Is that the kind of sacrifice we're doing? Because that's what it feels like. Do you realize that there have been so many other deaths due to so many other issues? We've had more deaths from other instances. I mean, they said the coronavirus fallout from the pandemic has led to 225,000 excess deaths in the United States, including 75,000 fatalities that were not at all caused by the coronavirus. It's from the Virginia Commonwealth University. The cure has become definitely worse than the disease. The university, they found that there were 225,000 more deaths in the United States than would be expected between March 1st and August 1st. And about 150,000, they said, could be attributable to coronavirus. And attributable, there's the asterisk, because there are other factors that are causing the fatality. The symptoms from coronavirus exacerbate those other factors. It is unscientific to just say, oh, it's a coronavirus death. 75,000 of these fatalities were other causes, though, where people didn't even have coronavirus. And they're trying to say, oh, well, it's reopening too soon. That's the problem. You realize how many people are not going for preventative care? How many now, how heart attacks have increased? Heart attacks have increased because people weren't, they just didn't go for preventative care. There are so many other issues. And that's not even getting into depression, alcoholism, all of this other stuff brought on by this long period of isolation and lockdown. And now we have Fauci saying, well, you know, bite the bullet. A lot of people did bite the bullet. You know, we all bit the bullet when you said it was going to be 15 days. And we bit the bullet when you first said, don't worry about masks, they can't help you. And then we bit the bullet again and we all pretended that you didn't just say, don't wear masks because they're ineffective. When you decided to then start saying, yeah, go ahead and wear masks. We lied to you because we didn't want to run on masks. And then we pretended that you didn't say that, you know, so that we could bite the bullet and just sacrifice, right? We're done. Done with it. We're not going to go. If this is the new normal, then you acclimate and you move on. If you are compromised because of immunity or your immune system, your health or whatever, then stay home. I've had people, I know people who, so many of my friends, I know a handful of people that I talk to regularly that got it. And they got over it. And they stayed home when they had it. They quarantined, they did their thing, and now they're back with the antibodies and they're basically immune now and they're doing their thing. Life goes on. I also have friends who buried people because of it. If you say that it is somehow heartless and callous to note that life goes on and you have to acclimate, just then is it equally, if not more, heartless and callous to say that life can't go on and that everyone has to arrest their development and stay exactly where they are and don't live? You're seeing the results of that, and it's going to get worse. So no, we're having our Thanksgiving. We always have a small Thanksgiving gathering. We're going to do it again this year. You can send the Texas Rangers to my house if you want. It'll be a brawl. But you can send the Rangers to my house if you want. God love them, but I'm a freedom lover first. FAFO.
A higher caliber of talk. Get Dana on demand through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Gosh, that cow. So you might want to be careful how you review people like on Yelp in Florida, because this Florida man, 60-year-old Daniel Ahrens, ain't having it. He is the owner of Georgia Boys Barbecue in Oldsmar, Florida. And there were some scathing reviews of Georgia Boys Barbecue that were posted on Yelp on Monday this week. And so what happens is Daniel Ahrens was like, I'm going to find out who posts these scathing reviews. And he went and found who he thought it was, a 25-year-old. The individual is believed to be the son of his girlfriend, who apparently Ahrens previously assaulted. And so the 60-year-old demonstrated old man strength by whipping the snot out of the 25-year-old that he believed who posted the scathing reviews. And yeah, so he's totally in jail. Totally in jail. And according to the affidavit, the victim wanted to speak to his mom about several threatening messages he had received from Ahrens. And apparently what happened was Ahrens was like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to go and find you. So he apparently chased this 25-year-old down the road when he found him. And then the victim tripped like a chick in a horror movie during the chase. And Ahrens jumped on top of him and started grounding and pounding while the victim tried to shield his face. The victim's 25. The perpetrator is 60. What in the world? Soy is bad for you. Yeah. And so Ahrens is, you know, apparently he's not a good guy. Don't think that Daniel Ahrens is the hero in this incident, because he got in trouble for beating up his girlfriend, trying to smother her with a pillow for 2 minutes, and he threatened to beat her upside the head with a 2x4. So, you know, he's not a good guy. I do think it's funny that he's able to take on a 25-year-old, though. So long story short, if you are ever in Oldsmar, Florida, and you ever eat at a barbecue restaurant, be careful what types of reviews that you give. Yeah, one of the reviews said, I wouldn't call this barbecue. Hell, I wouldn't even feed it to my dog. Maybe the owner should spend less time threatening customers and more time learning to cook properly. Oh, and y'all know that when you insult someone's barbecue, I mean, already that is an invitation to fight. I mean, in many states. And especially, apparently, I mean, it's just something else. I also, too, I'm just going to say, if it looks like your establishment's the kind where you just roll right on up and park in the grass and go in and you just got a handmade sign of a pig announcing that this is where your establishment is, maybe don't pick fights with those types of people either. I'm just saying. All right. So, you know, because it could be, you know, a Florida woman has, this is in the Villages, guys, has red marks on the right buttock after a Florida man tried to hit her with a lawnmower. What? A 78-year-old villager. It sounds like Minecraft, for crying out loud. Gerald Lawson got arrested on a felony charge of battery. He tried hitting the 73-year-old neighbor with a lawnmower and apparently put some marks on her behind. He was arrested. We got more to come. Stick with us.
It's the Dana Show.
What I would also do with regard to, there's no, the difference between me and the new Green Deal, they say automatically by 2030, we're going to be carbon free. Not possible.
So are you for it or against it? You say you're not for it, but in your website it says you call it a crucial framework.
The Green New Deal. My deal is a crucial framework, but not the new Green Deal. The new Green Deal calls for elimination of all non-renewable energy by 2030. You can't get there. You're going to need to be able to transition, George.
I think he's confused again.
Yep.
So, and I say that because it's literally on his website. It's on his website. So, just, you know, an FYI that it's there. Not only is it on his website, but he actually talked about it, and he was very supportive of it initially. His VP endorsed it when AOC had put it up and everyone was rushing and falling all over themselves to endorse it before they realized how ridiculous it sounded, because it literally talked about cow flatulence. Bovine flatulence.
And literally his only objection was the timeline. It, that like nothing mm-hmm. else in there was objectionable to him, just the timeline.
Just the timeline. Welcome to the show, folks. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. We made it to Friday. I didn't think it would happen this time, but we did. We made it to Friday. And next week is going to be even crazier because we have a debate and the confirmation vote for Judge Amy Barrett. Yeah. In the meantime, make sure you sign up for that newsletter. Here's real quick where you can find me.
Find Dana at D Lash on Twitter and Instagram, Dana Lash on Parler and YouTube, Official Dana Lash on Facebook, and simulcast via the First, Channel 244 on Pluto TV.
Say goodbye to the Bob Barker one for a while, because we're going to put it to the side. I do still like it, but we're just going to lay it on the side.
Monday we'll have two more for you. It'll mm-hmm. be fun.
Yeah, well, because, you know, we got to get into the spirit of things. It's Halloween, everybody. So where to start? I have a couple things that I wanted to pull up here for you as it relates to the whole sitch with the town halls yesterday. The dueling town halls. The president's was on NBC, was an hour, and Joe Biden's was on ABC, and it was like 2 hours, and I think we just like watching them fight, for real. Let's just be honest about it. We just like watching them fight and argue. Two things that I wanted to touch on. First off, yesterday at the end of the hearing with Barrett, there was this moment when Lindsey Graham and Dianne Feinstein, because this is, she was rapping and she said that this is, you know, one of her probably last hearings. And she said this was, she complimented Graham on the way that he led it. And then they extended hands and they hugged, and the left lost their mind. Lost it. So apparently there were some who were saying that she needed to be recalled and then removed from her committee positions. And then here's, I don't know who this is, We Demand Justice, some goofball group. I don't even know. And they said, Demand Justice calls for Dianne Feinstein's removal as lead Democrat on the Senate Judiciary Committee because she hugged Lindsey Graham. I love how grown adults have modified the childish tantrum. And they've tried to make it look sophisticated. Have you seen the little tricky ways they've done this? It's actually quite funny. Grown adults have taken to making childish tantrums look sophisticated by writing out their tantrum and putting it on paper along with a headline. You know, a press release. That's what this is. It's a giant adult tantrum. Well, it's a childish tantrum that adults are having, and they put it in, they've decided to say that it's more sophisticated than just like a regular kid tantrum because they put it in a press release. Now, this wasn't the only thing that Biden was a little confused on. He seemed to, in Audio Soundbite 10, he was asked, somebody asked, here we go, Stephanopoulos asks him, at least he asks him this, about court packing. And let's see if you can figure out where Biden is on it now.
I have not been a fan of court packing because I think it just generates what will happen. Whoever wins, it just keeps moving in a way that is inconsistent with what is going to be manageable.
So you're still not a fan?
Well, I'm not a fan. I then say it depends on how this turns out, not how he wins, but how it's handled, how it's handled. But there's a number of things that are going to be coming up. And there's going to be a lot of discussion about other alternatives as well.
What does that mean, how it's handled? How will that determine
For example, if there's actually real live debate on the floor, if people are really going to be able to have a time to go through this, you know, I don't know anybody who's gone on the floor and just, and you know, that's been a controversial justice in terms of making fundamentally altering the makeup of the court that's gone through in a day kind of thing. I mean, it depends on how much they rush this. And you.
Oh, is he done? Wow. Jeebus.
Wow.
Yes.
In the beginning, he literally admitted he was against it because there you can't, it can't sustain itself, it can't keep going. And then he says we have to wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
What is that about?
I don't know where he is on this. He's in the same place that, yeah. Oh my gosh.
I'm not the president.
Oh my gosh, please. I mean, let's just, good heavens. Oh, by the way, did you guys see this part of the well, if you didn't watch the Biden one, you didn't. So I need to play this for you. Audio Soundbite 25, because you remember that time when Biden was like, hey, if you don't vote for me, then you ain't black. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
Listen.
So my question for you then is, besides you ain't black, what do you have to say to young black voters who see voting for you as further participation in a system that continually fails to protect them?
And then
Stephanopoulos wasn't going to ask anything like
no! that. No, hell, he couldn't even ask him about Hunter Biden. I mean, sorry, Hunter Hay Einbay.
Yeah, there you go.
Goodness. Oh man, that was so good. I saw that because that happened when I was actually, I think, watching the Trump one. So, but yeah, that's just, oh my goodness. That was pretty unbelievable. I'm looking at some of the other. Some of the other audio here. This was from the Trump town hall. This is Audio Soundbite 13. This is an example of Guthrie. She asks him a question, and then I guess she acts like she's one of the candidates. This was weird.
A month ago, but look, you have on the masks, you know, you have two stories. You have a story where they want, a story where they don't want. I am all for it.
I don't get that because it's just all of your public health officials, your administration, they're in unison about this. No. They're all in unison about it. The University of Washington, which is they have a model that your coronavirus task force relies on, says that if everyone wore a mask, you could cut expected deaths in half. 60,000 lives. Well, what does that
Scott
mean?
Scott Atkins, if you look at Scott, Dr. Scott, he's from great guys, Stanford. He will tell you
he's
that
not an infectious disease expert.
You know, what's weird is that.
Savannah is?
Yeah, but Savannah Guthrie's an infectious disease expert, guys. Oh, my goodness. What gets me is that hasn't France had a mask mandate for like almost 4 months now? And their cases are increasing. I'm just. Did you guys also notice at that town hall last night, everyone wore masks and then they all took their masks off and talked into the same microphone?
That is true.
And then they put their masks back on. Did you guys see that?
Science.
It's because science. Ooh. Here's what else is happening. I'm going to jump back up to the story as it relates to the coronavirus, because this was one of the craziest dang things I've ever seen. I saw this video yesterday, and I saw another an earlier story where they were doing it to churches too, but they are really going door to door, synagogues here and different Jewish institutions. So authorities in New York, there's video of them walking down the street and peering into different Jewish buildings, religious building institutions, synagogues, and peering into the windows to check and see if there are Jewish schools, if there are students, Jewish students, or people praying. Like, they're literally searching Jewish institutions for people who are praying or students who are learning there. Plainclothes agents being sent by Andrew Cuomo to make sure that no one is praying. Did Cuomo tell them to check the attics?
Oh. Well, he did say this.
You know, I have to say to the Orthodox community tomorrow, if you're not willing to live with these rules, then I'm going to close the synagogues.
Oh my gosh. Are you? See, and I love how they're actually taking a stand against this, and they're saying, really, really, you want to, and they're kind of getting like this whole Texas mentality about it, like, come and take it. In fact, there was, let me pull this story up. Hasidic backlash is growing. And I like how Kane noted, inspired by Trump. That's what, because that's how they have it. Inspired by Trump, Hasidic backlash grows over virus rules. Or maybe it's because they just want to, I don't know, crazy thought, be free to worship?
Yeah.
Right?
That seems more logical.
They've been protesting, Jewish people have been protesting in the streets, Orthodox Jewish neighborhoods across New York, and not just Hasidic, like different other Orthodox groups. And they said that there are about as many as 500,000 ultra-Orthodox Jews within the New York area. And now, I mean, they're like really getting mad because of the stuff that I was just telling you about, sending people door to door and peeking into windows to see if people are praying and to see if their kids are in there learning, heaven forbid. Oh my gosh. But the idea that, well, inspired by Trump, what does that have to do with it? I think it's inspired by the fact that they want to be able, I mean, sorry, I thought this was America and that we had something like freedom of assembly and the free practice of religion. Because these are unconstitutional edicts that they're throwing out. My gosh. And if everyone's wearing a mask when they can't social distance, it should be okay, right? Because we were told masks work.
Right.
I was reliably informed that the masks worked.
By Savannah Guthrie.
Mm-hmm. All right, we have a lot more on the way, including, let me just pull this up so I can go through. We have a lot of stuff. Republican Senator Ben Sasse goes off on Trump, and I've never been a fan of Ben Sasse. And I don't know, maybe for the same reason that some people say that they dislike Trump. I feel like he's very self-aggrandizing. And his people will not stop sending me press releases, no matter how many times I opt out. I get a 50-11-T frillion a day, and I'm done. Stop it. Like, how many ways do I have to say this? So we'll talk about that a little bit here coming up. In addition, I can't believe they made Jagged Little Pill into a musical, one of the worst things to ever come out of the 90s, including a butchering of what irony means. We'll discuss that. The latest with Denver, because they charged that not really a security guard with second-degree murder. And then we have also big tech as the FCC chair weighs in.
Grab the digital archives and enjoy The Dana Show on the go through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So you remember that Chinese virologist who's telling on the Communist Party, Dr. Li Mengyan, the doctor who fled the country, left her job at a prestigious Hong Kong university, and she's been appearing on television. She said the virus was created by Chinese scientists in a lab. She's been publishing receipts, just FYI. I haven't even looked at all of them, and half of which I don't even understand what I'm looking at and or reading. She, published receipts, like there have never been any receipts published like the receipts that she is publishing. I don't even know what in the world I'm looking at. Like sequence alignment of the spike proteins. And she's comparing like different viruses. And she says that the portions of the coronavirus genome have not been derived from natural quasi-species viral particle evolution. And then she goes through all these different options. And it is the most in-depth thing I've ever seen in my life. And I'm going to probably, I'll have it up at Facebook because I don't think I'm sending another newsletter out tonight after early vote. But just FYI. So that's insane. I mean, it is receipt. And there are graphs and charts and pictures and all kinds of stuff. So I'll link that up for you. But yeah, unbelievable. And she said she was going to do it and she's doing it. So, also, the World Health Organization, you know that they now oppose lockdowns, right?
What?
Mm-hmm. They were doing an interview with The Spectator, a British magazine, and they said, we in the World Health Organization do not advocate lockdowns as the primary means of control of this virus. Wow. They said that they're draconian and they do more harm than good. The World Health Organization said that. Just FYI. I don't know how many, you know, of our people here in the United States working in media saw that. And like I said, France has had a mask mandate for months, and that they're now seeing a spike in cases. One of those, I was looking at the number of people in France who've fatalities from coronavirus has risen by 88 to 33,125 compared to 104 on Wednesday. They were looking at the, I mean, there's basically an increase in cases, but they've had to wear a mask. Even just being outside, they've had to wear a mask. The Trump administration rejected the pleas for disaster assistance from Gavin Newsom because of the wildfires. And Trump has said that it's because you mismanaged money that was specifically for that purpose. But even worse, you refused to do proper forest management to prevent these sorts of this catastrophe from happening. Well, true. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store.
Missed anything from the show? Subscribe to Dana's Daily Podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
There's vaccines, they say, have a very positive impact, and they're going to affect positively 85% of the American public. Or there's others say this vaccine is really the key. This is the golden key. It depends on the state of the nature of the vaccine, when it comes out, and how it's being distributed. That would depend on. But I would think that we should be talking about, depending on the continuation of the spread of the virus, we should be thinking about making it mandatory.
How could you enforce that?
Well, really? Like, you're going to consider making it mandatory? Look, if you can, if you're giving the government the ability to determine what you can or cannot consume, then you're also going to give the government the ability to determine what you can or cannot, well, in terms of vaccinations. Welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com. And that was just, he's for mask mandate and he's for apparently mandatory vaccines as it relates to, well, I mean, this and probably everything else. I can't imagine it would just be limited to this. So that's everything that he has said in terms of how he would have handled the virus is legitimately everything that Trump has already done. There's not one thing that Biden has proposed that Trump hasn't already done and did already before Biden was started proposing it. To me, that just seems incredibly disingenuous, and he's not a serious candidate. It's plagiarism again. That's all it is. Now, additionally, this was, I wanted to play this too yesterday. We have a lot of good audio. The president was talking about Section 230. We've discussed that, and he was also discussing the New York Post and Hunter Biden. And it's crazy to me that you had Joe Biden for 2 hours last night. If you had had the son of a Republican presidential contender who was documented in email selling out his dad's access for millions of dollars in email, documented selling out his dad's access, that would be the first question and pretty much the entire topic of the evening. And it was not even broached last night. This was Trump mentioning Biden and the New York Post and everything last night. Listen.
Joe Biden is a corrupt politician, and he has been corrupt for many years, and everybody in Washington knew it. And just now, a little while ago, a new story shows up that Hunter made a deal with a wealthy Chinese business magnate for $10 million a year for introductions only. Introductions. I don't know. Will you take $10 million a year to introduce people? Yeah, to introduce Dad. Dad, say hello. And by the way, Dad, give them everything they want. Okay? Give them everything they want.
Yeah. Give them everything that they want. Have you, I'm sure that you've seen the latest with some of these emails. A lot of the, some of the new developments were reported last night. There were more. Red State has a big thing on it. There were even more. Tucker Carlson had some that had been published. That it's just, it keeps getting worse. What amazes me is, as much as we kind of joke about how media loves the sensationalism and the ratings that come with sensationalism, they will forego that ad revenue if it means protecting their ideology. I mean, it is something else. Here you, for like the one of the emails, it was a Burisma executive, Vadim Pershmishmishbert. Yeah, that's it. He emailed Hunter Biden and his business partner, Devin Archer, and Pozharsky, he explains that it is to, quote, be on the same page regarding our final goals, including but not limited to a concrete course of actions. And when you look at all of the emails, what he was talking about is he wanted U.S. officials, and this was in high-ranking U.S. officials, that's a direct quote from the email, to express their, quote, positive opinion of Burisma, and he wanted the administration to act on Burisma's behalf. Quote, the scope of the work should include organization of a visit of a number of widely recognized and influential current and or former U.S. policymakers to Ukraine in November, aiming to conduct meetings with and bring positive signal, message, and support to Burisma. That's the quote. What? They wanted to shut down any corruption investigation into Burisma. And that's exactly what that's what was happening. And the emails show that there was the connection and that he was pushing out his dad's name on this. For instance, this was he introduced, and remember how Biden said, I never met any of these people. I didn't know any of these people, etc. Except, yeah, here it is. He was there. The emails show that he absolutely was introduced to the some of these executives. And in fact, that, I mean, here's literally the email. This was April 17, 2015. Quote, dear Hunter, thank you for inviting me to D.C. and giving me an opportunity to meet your father and spend some time together. And it's really an honor and pleasure. Of course, some of it is like spelled, I guess, Russian phonetically. It's really an honor and pleasure. As we spoke yesterday evening, would be great to meet today for quick coffee. What do you think? I could come to your office somewhere around noon or so before my way to the airport. Best, Vadim. He literally writes this. This is the actual email. And then everyone's like, oh, but there's that Hunter Biden email. They have the Hunter Biden's email at the time included in there. Yes, I'm sure he still has his Burisma executive email from 2015, you morons. Black and white, it says it there. Dear Hunter, thank you for inviting me to D.C. and give me an opportunity to meet your father and spend some time together. It's really an honor and pleasure. Verbatim.
That was 2015.
There you go. There you go. So that it is already, I mean, it is absolutely in black and white. So there, Joe Biden already lied. And then there's even more. Oh, my gosh, there's so many receipts. It's insane. And they even, they're talking about in one of these emails, one of these letters that were emailed that this guy sent, that one of these Burisma guys sent to Hunter Biden and his business partner. He gets into how they're trying to ward off this investigation into, you know, how it's not really corruption what they're doing. And they said He writes, like, literally, quote, "We urgently need your advice on how you could use your influence to convey a message / signal, etc., to stop what we consider to be politically motivated actions, bearing in mind the following." And then it gets into negative influence on our companies may result in multi-level negative social, economical, and political consequences, end quote. I mean, that's everything that they said that they didn't know about or didn't happen literally happened.
And
yes.
And Joe got the Ukrainian prosecutor fired, right?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. So that's, yeah, that's true. Whoo, my goodness. And there's, and apparently there's even more. So I'm just kind of amazed at how is this not even a conversation with ABC last night. Not even. And then there was even a note from Hunter Biden to his daughter, apparently. And at the end of the note, there was this quote, and this is direct. "But don't worry, unlike Pop, I won't make you give me half your salary," end quote.
Dang.
Really? Wow. So, we're not going to talk about this? We're not.
Why is this being largely ignored and blocked on every platform? I don't get it.
Don't you guys think that this is super important? If you're going to have a dude in the White House and Russians have, I mean, legitimate, they impeached Trump for what the crackhead did.
Yep.
Twitter and Facebook literally put their whole business model on that number. "Well, guys, what is our plan today to help our bottom line? I have a great idea. Hear me out, Jack. Let's go all in defending a 50-year-old crackhead." What? Yes. I mean, yeah, he's got pictures of himself doing all kinds of crazy stuff, some of it way illegal. But 50-year-old crackhead. Let's defend him. Let's, like, to the point where we completely undermine any remaining credibility in our services. Actually, that sounds like a great idea. Let's do that. That was just like a snapshot into their board meeting yesterday, apparently. Woo! Just saying. And this is why Trump said this, audio soundbite 22, when he was talking about Section 230.
"And if big tech persists in coordination with the mainstream media, we must immediately strip them of their Section 230 protection." Okay, it's very simple.
There you go. True of that. Now, the FCC chair said that he was going to look as to how he could weigh in on this. Ajit Pai had, I'm pulling this up, I've got a lot of stuff in front of me. He had tweeted about this last night and was discussing what the FCC could potentially do. And you heard me talk with Senator Josh Hawley yesterday. And what it sounded like Hawley and the others were looking to do was to not remove 230 protections, but modify them as it specifically relates to Twitter and Facebook. Ajit Pai was saying that let me pull this up. He says, "I intend to move forward with an FCC rulemaking to clarify the meaning of Section 230. Now, if you get my newsletter, not only do I have Section 230 up there linked, but I talked about it in depth as to what 230 actually is and what it does, and really ultimately what you could modify and what it would look like if you modified it. Because right now, the way even Trump's executive order, for all of the freaking out that everyone did, the one that he issued in May, it doesn't actually impact any part of Section 230 beyond Section 2A. And I just wanted to cite that really quickly. He writes, the Section 230 says civil liability, no provider or user of an interactive service, computer service shall be held liable on account of any action voluntarily taken in good faith to restrict access to or availability of material that the provider or user considers to be obscene, lewd, lascivious, filthy, excessively violent, harassing, or otherwise objectionable, whether or not it's constitutionally protected, or B, any action taken to enable or make available information content providers or others the technical means to restrict access to material described above. So it's not government regulating. And the more that I look at this, the more that I'm being convinced that it's not government regulating, it's government removing the immunity that they have, because they are engaging in an editorial practice. And when you are engaging in an editorial practice, you are forfeiting. And it doesn't talk about neutrality. It doesn't say that you have to be neutral. However, when you are presenting content in an editorial fashion, you are then engaging in a process through which you could actually fundamentally be held liable for anything that is not considered protected speech or protected action. And everyone else, you're getting a special, it's actually being regulated to where you're getting special treatment. So I'm all for 230, and I don't want it to be removed, but I don't think that they've proven themselves too editorial to receive immunity from unprotected speech, because they're editorial. By way of editorializing, they're endorsing certain speech and not others. So that's how you got to look at it. Oh, my goodness. We almost need another hour today. We really do. So, I just do want to underscore, I don't want 230 removed. Modify is one thing. So we'll continue following that story, because obviously this is going to be something that I think we're going to see a lot of action. We're going to see action on it before the election for sure.
Catch the latest Dana podcasts, videos, and blog posts at the all-new DanaRadio.com.
And now we have Biden's own text messages to his father, to others, which make it clear that they were stealing money, taking money from countries like Iraq, Ukraine, China, Romania.
True.
Oh, don't forget Moscow, the $3.5 million from Moscow that Biden lied about at the debate, which we have proof of. Plus, today, the New York Post completely puts the lie to his claim he didn't know about Burisma, and he didn't know about the shenanigans there and the fact that he was involved in a bribe there, since he said he never met or knew anything about Burisma. And there are text messages that make it clear that in 2015, he had a meeting with the number two person of Burisma in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, he did. And here's the thing that I want to point out, too. And there's been a lot of discussion about this here. You know, you have the media that ran with the Steele dossier as being something legitimate, even though many of the reporters that were writing about this at the time knew that it was fake, because they were given it by Fusion GPS to write about it. And then Fusion GPS turned around and literally used it and put it their work and took it before the FISA court and acted like it was separate and independent reporting. And these same people are now trying to ignore and discount this story. It's completely inconsistent, entirely inconsistent. And this just, I mean, on and on and on, the whole P tape thing. Remember that whole story?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the fake Don Jr. story, but the meeting in Trump Tower. This is why no one trusts media. No one trusts them. Today in Stupidity Kane.
All right, so the dueling town halls were last night. On Biden's town hall, he thought it was a great idea to say stuff like this.
The idea that an 8-year-old child or a 10-year-old child decides, you know, I decided I want to be transgender. That's what I think I'd like to be. It'll make my life a lot easier. There should be zero discrimination.
Wow. Okay, and what I had asked was, what do you mean discrimination? Like access to hormones that you're just going to pump kids with? Or what do you mean? What are you talking about? I mean, that's like such stupid language that he's using.
He could have easily won over some Trump voters if he would have simply said the opposite.
Well, yeah, you can't sit here and give kids unnecessary hormone treatment and not think that later on in their adult life there isn't going to be serious consequences as a result of that.
For kids, it's all he really has to do.
And the idea of presenting any questioning about that, about the seriousness of using hormones unnecessarily on prepubescent children as discrimination, is, again, this is why anybody who has this view and this approach is unfit for office, because it's abusive. End of story.
Amen. Thank you.
DanaLash.com. Early vote, Texas. And if you're a Republican and you don't get out and vote, you forfeit your right to complain. And I'll bar you from the show. How about that? DanaLash.com. Have a great week, and I'll be back with you Monday. Start a week anew.
It's the Dana Show.